Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
If you were to look up the word drive in a dictionary, you'd find that it says to guide, to control, or to direct. For example, when you drive a car, you guide, control, or direct it down the street. When you drive a nail, I can't do it loud enough. Yeah, you get the idea. You drive, control, or direct it onto the wood or whatever surface it is you're using. Every life is driven by something. Every human being is driven by something. Some people are driven by guilt. Some people are driven by worry or fear. Some people are driven by insecurity. Some people are driven by anger. Some people are driven all through life by resentment. Some people are driven by their past and they spend their whole life running from their past. Some people are driven by the need for approval. Some people are driven by their possessions and the desire to acquire overwhelms, and they're consumed by their consumables. Some people are driven by their parents. Even 20, 30, 40 years later, and maybe their parents are passed away, and they're still trying to do what mommy and daddy would approve of. So let me ask you this morning, what drives you? What drives you? Now, we can't talk about drive without talking about purpose. And if I may, if it's not terribly intrusive, I'd like to ask the congregation this morning, do any of you know what your purpose is? Any of you know what your purpose is? In my profession as a business coach, my clients are riddled with this very question. What am I supposed to do, Carlos? What's my purpose? And I have the opportunity to talk with people about one of the scariest things you could do in your professional life, starting up your own business. And I see this fear, this uncertainty, this anxiety, this hesitation that completely consumes them with questions and a desperate yearning for direction, for support. I also get to talk with people that are at a crossroads in their life, and they're beginning to question what they should do next. They ask questions like, what am I meant to do? They're not sure what their purpose is. They don't feel fulfilled. And so the journey begins, the journey of exploration and self-discovery. And this is what my focus is on today. And after we're done, I hope, I pray, that you'll have a bit more clarity as to what your purpose in your life is. So, let's begin. It's about 11:30 o'clock at night, and I'm sitting there in front of my television watching the National Geographic Channel in high definition. And I'm watching this true-to-life Dr. Doolittle, who can actually communicate with animals, especially those of the canine family. Anyone know who I'm talking about? Ah, yes. The beloved Caesar Milan, a.k.a. the Dog Whisperer. Anyone ever hear or watch the Dog Whisperer? Okay. And you watch this guy go from home to home, counseling people to reclaim their homes, fix their marriages, help them find themselves again by disciplining their dogs? Now, if you know anything about me, I'm not particularly a dog person. Or a cat person, for that matter. I can tell I'm making enemies already. And I publicly confess that I'm not at all a pet person. Thank you. However, I was really drawn to this guy, not because I wanted to see him get mauled or attacked by a dog he was trying to discipline, but because of what he does and how he does it. And I think to myself, here's a guy who's found his purpose. The dog whisperer? He knows what he's meant to do, and he's quite well. He does it quite well. So, filled with intrigue, I go online and I look him up. I check out his bio, and here's what his bio says. I don't know if you guys can see it. Here it is. Let me read this to you. Born and raised in Mexico, his blessed gift of primal communion with nature always came naturally to him. But his unique connection to canines became most noticeable around the age of 13. Everywhere Caesar went, there always seemed to be a swirl of dogs surrounding him. The locals gave him a nickname, El Perrero. You got to roll the R when you say that. It's Spanish for the dogman. Caesar embraced this gift wholeheartedly, and he came to America to pursue his dream of becoming the greatest dog trainer in the world. He soon realized, though, that he was searching for something rather more profound than teaching dogs basic commands. Heeding his grandfather's advice to never work against Mother Nature, Caesar acquired yet another pack of dogs. He passionately studied books on dog psychology, but it was through his own observation, awareness, and firsthand experience that Caesar distilled his own formulas that clearly kept dogs balanced, calm, and submissive. And now he spotlights on the National Geographic as Dog Whisperer with Caesar Millan, which premiered in 2004. Let me ask you guys, do you think Caesar Millan has found his purpose? World renowned. He's called everywhere, from everywhere around the world, friends. He goes anywhere. He rescues, he rehabilitates these dogs that have these extreme behavior issues. I won't ask you, but how many, well, yes, I'd like to find out. How many of your dogs could use Caesar Millan? More personal question. How many of you could use a Caesar Millan in your life? His purpose, friends, is so defined that he's got his own show. And people like me, pet lovers, actually non-pet lovers like me, we love to watch him. I love to see him put his purpose into action. I love to see that. Purpose. That's an interesting word. Purpose, isn't it, Edgar? The dictionary defines it as the reason for which something exists or is done or is made or is used. An intended or desired result, an end, an aim or a goal, determination, resoluteness. What is your reason for existence? What were you made for? What's your intended or desired result, your end, your aim, your goal? What's your determination, your resoluteness? Some people find purpose after they've undergone life-transforming experiences, even unjust ones, such as Nelson Mandela. When Mandela was released on February 11, 1990, after serving 27 years in prison, some wondered whether he would be ready for compromise after spending more than a quarter of a century behind bars. Some argued that if he had been bent on vengeance, he could have easily caused mass riots and civil strife. But he, as the leader of South African blacks, he set aside his personal feelings. This is profound, friends. He concluded his first speech after his release from prison with these words. I don't know if they're up there. If not, I'll just read them. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die. I often wonder if child prodigies are born with a purpose. These children's talents, the mastery of skill set, it's just beyond me. Their talents range from different disciplines, right? Mathematics, science, engineering, medicine, literature, and music. One of my personal favorite child prodigies began composing music at the age of 5. And by the age of 9, He was writing full symphonies. Anyone know who I'm talking about? I will give you a hint. If I could please have my good friend Jeff Rudolph play a familiar tune that I think you might recognize. Age 5, okay? Jeff is 38. Age 5. Okay, thank you, Jeff. Jeff is not 38, by the way. How old are you, Jeff? Ask him after. Any guesses as to who that child prodigy was?
Mozart.
Mozart, very good. Very good. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Thank you for indulging us, Jeff. I love hearing Jeff play. When we begin this journey of exploration, we typically begin at the wrong starting point, right? We begin with ourselves. We begin this process. When we begin this process, we ask ourselves very self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my ambitions, my dreams, my future? And you're probably looking at me, Carlos. Well, the title of your talk today is, what's your purpose? What's my purpose? We'll buy and spend and read tons of self-help books, even Christian ones that offer the same predictable advice with the same predictable steps about finding your life's purpose. I have a library full of them. I actually brought some with me. What should I do with my life? Put your dream to the test. The little book on meaning. Should I do what I love, Arlene? And the one that really inspired me the most, which is kind of the basis for my talk today, is The Purpose-Driven Life. These books that I have here, they tell us, write a mission, clarify your values, set your goals, figure out what you're good at, aim high, be disciplined, involve others, never give up, hire a good coach. Okay, I threw that last one in there, but it's not bad advice. And often, you know what's funny? Often these recommendations actually can lead to great success. You can succeed in reaching your goals if you truly put your mind to it. You can. I believe that. However, being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose are two totally different things. Through some of my personal networks and through the work that I do, I have the opportunity to be around some very influential and what we would deem in today's society as very successful people. And as we begin to engage in conversation and start sharing stories and whatnot, I begin to realize how unhappy they truly are. I begin to see that beneath the facade, they live very unfulfilled, meaningless lives. They too are searching for a purpose beyond their 10-acre estate and 15,000 square foot homes. You see, if you could reach all your personal goals, become a raving success, and still you could, and you'll still miss the purpose which God created for you, you need more than self-help advice. It's not about finding the right career or achieving your dreams or planning your life. It's about becoming what God created you to be. In Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he states this. This is very interesting. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose, for His purpose. In the book of Colossians, it reads, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Contrary to what many popular books, movies, and seminars will tell you, you won't discover your life's meaning by looking within yourself. Wait a minute, you probably already tried that, right? This is what's interesting, guys. You didn't create yourself. Therefore, there's really no way you could know what you were created for. And that's because you are not an accident. You are not an accident. Your birth was not a mistake or a mishap. And your life is no fluke of nature. Your parents may not have planned you, but God had you in mind from the very beginning. He was not at all surprised by your birth. In fact, he expected it. Long before you were conceived by your parents, you were conceived in the mind of God. He thought of you first. It's not fate, not chance, not luck, not coincidence that you are breathing at this very moment. You're alive because God wanted to create you. God prescribed every single detail of your body. He deliberately chose your race, the color of your skin, your hair, and every other feature. He custom made your body the way he wanted. He also determined the natural talents you would possess, the uniqueness of your personality. Because God made you for a reason, he also decided when you would be born and how long you would live. He planned the days of your life in advance, choosing the exact time of your birth and death. The book of Psalms says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God also planned where you'd be born and where you would live. Your race and nationality are no accident. God left no detail to chance. He planned it all for purpose. In the book of Acts, it talks about from one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined this time set for them and exact places where they should live. Every Friday night, I have the opportunity to hang out with some really crazy people. And we talk about some pretty crazy things. Things of a philosophical and theological nature. Life questions, if you will. And everyone comes from a different background, from a different religion, and from a different race. And on any given Friday night, you'll encounter someone from Chile, Nicaragua, Pakistan, Korea, China, India, England, Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, Indonesia, and even Oregon. And regardless of where we come from, and we all come together here in this living room on Friday nights. You see, nothing in your life is arbitrary. It's all for purpose. It's all by design. It's funny we're talking about this. Last night, our topic for last night was fate versus free will. And we had a robust discussion of those on the camp of fate and those on the camp of free will. I'm not sure who won yet, Christina. I'm not sure who won. But we all got to express what we thought of our purpose in life. Or where our purpose is. God even decided how you would be born. Regardless of the circumstance of your birth or who your parents are, God had a plan in creating you. It doesn't matter whether your parents were good, bad, or indifferent. God knew that those two individuals possessed exactly the right genetic makeup to make the custom you that we see today. In essence, your parents had the DNA that God wanted to make you. While there are illegitimate parents, there are no illegitimate children. Many children are unplanned by their parents, but they're not unplanned by God. God's purpose took into account human error and even sin. You see, God never does anything accidentally, and he never makes mistakes. He has a reason for everything he creates. Every plant, every animal that you see, and every person was designed with a purpose in mind. So earlier we talked about what drives you. Talked about several different things that drive people. And I want to talk about this because I think it's important, and I think it may affect several of us. Actually, I know personally that it has an effect on me. Many people are driven by guilt. They spend their lives running from regrets and hiding their shame. Guilt-driven people are manipulated by memories. They allow their past to control their future. They often unconsciously punish themselves by sabotaging their own success. When Cain sinned, his guilt disconnected him from God's presence, and God said, "You will be a restless wanderer on earth." That kind of describes, I think, most people today, wandering through life without a purpose. But there's some good news, friends. We may be products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. Amen? God's purpose is not limited by your past. He specializes in giving people like you and I a fresh start. Admittedly, though, there are forces that can drive your life, but they all lead to the same dead end: unused potential, unnecessary stress, and an unfulfilled life. Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless. Without a clear purpose, you have no foundation on which you base decisions, allocate your time, and use your resources. You'll tend to make choices based on circumstance, pressures, and even your mood at that time. People who don't know their purpose try to do too much, and that causes stress, fatigue, and conflict. Without a clear purpose, you'll change directions, jobs, relationships, churches, and several external things about your life. And you'll hope that each time you change that will remove the confusion or the emptiness you feel inside. You think, maybe this time it will be different. But it doesn't solve your real problem: your lack of focus and purpose. The Bible says, don't act carelessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Even though we know everyone eventually dies, death always seems unnatural and unfair. I have a really hard time with death, as perhaps some of you do. Here today, gone tomorrow. I can see you, I can touch you, but you're no longer breathing. You're not awake. You're not alive anymore. I have a very difficult time understanding this. One day your heart will stop beating, and that will be the end of your body and your time on earth, but it will not be the end of you. When you fully comprehend that there's more to life than just the here and now, you realize that life is preparation for eternity. You'll begin to live differently. You'll begin to handle every relationship, task, and circumstance differently. And you'll be tested. You will be tested. We're always being tested. God constantly watches our response to people, to problems, to success, to conflict, to illness, to disappointment, and even the weather. You'll be tested by major changes, delayed promises, impossible problems, unanswered prayers, undeserved criticism, and even senseless tragedies. In 1993, Steven Spielberg introduced us to Adolf Hitler's first former member of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, Oskar Schindler, played excellently, I must say, by Liam Neeson in the Academy Award winner for Best Picture, Schindler's List. Appalled by the murder of many of the Jews who had been working for him, he went out of his way to protect them using his legendary charm and ingratiating manner to help his workers get out of difficult situations. Whenever the Schindler Jews were threatened with deportation, he claimed exemption for them. Wives, children, handicapped persons were shown to be necessary mechanics and metal workers. Schindler also reportedly began to smuggle children out of the ghetto, delivering them to Polish nuns who either hid them from Nazis or claimed they were Christian orphans. This is Schindler's grave. It's located in Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And he's the only member of the Nazi party to be honored in this way. The stones placed on top of the grave are signs of gratitude from Jewish visitors, although Schindler himself was not Jewish. Anyone here speak German? Know what that says? The unforgettable lifesaver of 1,200 persecuted Jews. Friends, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without purpose. We need to ask ourselves, am I going to live for possessions, popularity? Am I going to be driven by pressures, guilt, bitterness, materialism? Or am I going to be driven by God's purpose for my life? God didn't put us on earth just to fulfill a to-do list. He's more interested in what we are more than what we do. That's why we're called human beings, not human doings. At this time, I'd like to invite Angela to come and close our worship service.
This next song is called I Know a Love, and this is another one of my favorite songs. I just love God. I love God, and he's the only one that can straighten me out, I guess you could say. But he's the one that gives us purpose. But not only that, he connects us to people to help our purpose come to pass. He's just everything. And so that's why I want to sing this song. That it kind of even bring us back to focusing on, as Carlos was saying, about being driven by his purpose for us. Dark and lonely hours, I listen for your voice to calm my fears. As I stare into the quietness, my heart beating alone is all I hear. But I know that you are near me. Even when I cannot hear you, we are never far apart. You are here within my heart. And the love that you have given is all I'll ever need to make it through. I put my hope and trust in you. A love that will not ever let me go. But I know that you are faithful. When in human eyes it's hopeless, so I cling to you alone. And you make your presence known, and so tenderly you hold. You remind me that this love I found is true. I put my hope and trust in you.
Thank you, Angela. I invite you to please fellowship as we conclude. You're welcome to hang out in the sanctuary, in the foyer, wherever you'd like. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, you know everything about us. You know our purpose. It is through your purpose that we understand our purpose. You know why we're here, and you know what you want us to do. But more importantly, you know what you want us to be. Allow us to absorb every day of our lives and not squander one opportunity to carry out the purpose you've set forth in our lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.